Hi, I'm Monique Allenon from Würzburg. Hi. Is that better?
Yes.
I try again. Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
It's really uncomfortable, but okay. I'm Monique Allenon. Hi. Okay. Yeah? Interesting. I was asked to speak here and with that topic, another chance. I was like, I had no chance before. I was growing up with a couple of active alcoholics and a couple of untreated Al-Anons, and I learned how to survive. And that was the only thing I could do. I survived. And at the point I was 19, I didn't know how to hang on life anymore. Everything was terrible, and I think one of the last strokes there was someone telling me, there's group opening up an Alateen group in Würzburg, you can go and you can look it out. And I was like, I don't want to be in a self-help program, but I have no other chance. So that's when I went, and I found out my way of living, my chance that I can have an active life, and that was due to the steps, and that's why I would like to share my story around the steps. And when I came, I was introduced in our group. We have like a beginner sponsorship, and I was supported to my first sponsor, and I'm really glad that she was there, and I'm grateful that she said I should call. And that was the first time I really had that feeling that someone is willing to help me, is willing to listen, and I did not even know what to share on a regular basis when I called her, because I was so desperate. And she said, if you want what we have, you need to work the steps, and we can start right away. And I'm so glad that I had not the chance or the time to think about if I want to do that steps or anything, but that was just, it was the only way I thought that I can work it out. And that first step was for me about being honest and accept the fact that it is, that I'm growing up in an alcoholic home, and I've been told everything is fine, there is no problem in our family. And I believe that because everybody told me, and I was the youngest one. And so it was a big step for me when I said the first time that I'm Al-Anon and I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. And today is also the first time that I'm sharing my story when my qualifier is in the room too, so I'm a little bit more nervous than normal. And I learned that accepting that fact and being honest about it helps me to calm down and get my point across. So acceptance for me is just like living life in reality and stop dreaming about or hoping or fantasizing or doing too much in the past or too much in the future. Because I can spend my whole life worrying about what could happen or being sorry for what happened so far. I had no normal chance to do something wrong to get another chance, so that was kind of hard. But in acceptance the fact as it is, there's also a kind of relief, because the most things I can't change, I just have to accept them. And I learned that acceptance is not I have to like what I accept, it's just the way it is and it won't change, even if I don't like it. And the second step was like that there is hope, that it is hope for chance, that there is something that is bigger than me. And I had a big issue about God, because a loving God wouldn't let me grow up like that. So I decided as a kid that I have that God doesn't care about me. So I had a hard time finding a higher power which is loving, caring, and in charge. And that was all she had to be, but it was hard for me to find that higher power. And my sponsor told me a lot of time, I can lend hers until I find my own, because hers is loving, kind, and in charge, and I just should try the concept. And the easiest concept to grasp was that I'm not the highest thing in the universe. I could rely on that one, that this is something bigger than me. And therefore, the third step was surrendering and gaining that faith in my higher power, like letting go and letting God. And for me, which I try to control everything just in case to be secure and safe, it was really, really hard just to open up and try to let God take the position that is God's position and not me taking control of everything. But in the moments I could let go and I could let God be in charge, it was a big relief, and it was just like all that guilt and all that pressure was going off my shoulders. So I was pretty happy with that. Every time it worked out a little, and I'm like, yeah, okay, now I can do it. And normally 3 minutes later I took it back. But that was also like doing the third step, that I need to constantly do it and constantly give up my life over to the care of God and the life of the people I love and I care. I also need them to hand them over to God. And the fourth step was like the first time in my life that I really looked about myself, because I could do the inventory about everybody I knew. And I could tell every failures and every mistakes they made to me, that was easy. But to look at myself and to not judge it, then just take the actions and just take the time and look at myself and try to figure out what is my part in the situations. It was so hard, because that was the point where I have to give up my victim role and say I'm also in charge of something, and I also have in most situations a part that life is so horrible. So that was pretty rough, and I stopped and everything got worse, and my sponsor told me, keep on going, you know, you start steering it up, don't stick in the mud, you know, keep on going and it will turn better. And that brought me to step 5. Being honest to me, to my higher power, and also to my sponsor. I even asked her if I could share it with someone else, and she said no. So I was really afraid about what she will think from me afterwards, because I had all those thoughts and everything I did wrong, and I felt like a big failure all my life, because somewhat in my childhood I thought if I would just be better, clean up my room better, do whatever better, everything would be fine in my family and I would fit in. So I felt like a terrible failure at all, and now I've written down some other things what I never even thought of could be wrong with me also, till I did my fourth step and I shared it with her, and it was hard. But the miracle in that was nothing changed. You know, we still were on the phone on a regular basis, we still seen our meetings, she was still hugging me, she was still nice. And that took a while till I realized that was the magic of the fifth step for me, that when I was honest, she still loved me. And she said most of the times, I did that too, it's okay, and I expected something great to happen and it didn't, but the magic was that nothing happened after I did my fifth step, and nothing happened over years. And step 6 for me is like willingness and patience, and I'm not good in that. I want stuff right now gone. You know, I'm hard in being that part that I say, okay, I'm patience. And I'm willing to let my defects go. And then I found out I'm not. You know, in every defect I had something what I really appreciate about that. And I first had to admit that all my defects were part of my surviving my childhood. And I had to acknowledge them. And then I had to become willing to let them go, because now I'm no more surrounded by active alcoholism and I'm no more 4 or 10 years old. I don't need that to survive anymore. And it can go back to a normal base. I don't have to be in that extreme areas all the time. And I'm good in extremes. I'm not good in the middle way. So it was hard, but that was like, I'm going to be willing to let go. And then being humble enough to ask God to remove it and not tell God which one first, which one second, and which one from one extreme to what middle. Because that was what I thought, at least I need to tell God that how I wanted to remove. And it was that even going more into step three, like trusting God, trusting the process, and said, whatever you want to take away, you can take away. And I will just try to do my part, because I can't live on my life as I did and just pray that God removes everything. I also have to do the right actions. And that was also quite difficult to find out what part is my action to do and what part is God's part to remove. But my part mostly was just trusting God and saying, okay, whatever it takes you to take it away, just do it, and I try to do my part. And then it came to step eight, and I was like, I'm not willing to make amends, so I will not write that list. And I just thought, so many people harmed me, they should first make amends before I go to my parents or whatever. Like, you know, of course they were in my fourth step, but I was not willing. And my sponsor told me that I can choose the columns for I'm willing, I may be willing, and I will never do. And that helped me, that I was not forced to start getting willing to make amends to everybody on my list, that I just had just to have even a closer look and what did I harm to other people, where did I hurt other people, and to be honest, where did I hurt other people on purpose, because I wanted to, because they hurt me first. This is not a good character, but revenge is, yeah. If you do something wrong, I will remember. And 27 years later, till that day, I will remember and I will find my way to get back. And just to say, okay, I did things wrong too, and I need to be willing to make amends. And that was also a God thing for me, because all the people from the maybe list over the years changed into the I'm willing list. And that brings me to the ninth step, just being responsible for my part and to make amends and just go to people and not even telling them what I think. So most of the time just be open, and sometimes just asking, like, how can I make it up to you? What do you need now for whatever I have done? Because my ego says, I know what I did and I know what I need to do to fix that. And, you know, just to ask the people what they really need and what is their perspective, I found out it's most of the time complete difference about what is mine. And the the magic in that was that I started to forgive myself, even if the others didn't, or even if the others rejected my amends and just said they don't want to listen. And I said, okay, I tried. And that was something, what was a miracle too, that even if they don't listen and they don't care, I did my part. I was willing, and I felt better after every amends I made or I tried. And then step 10 is doing that discipline work, like doing inventory over and over again. And just keep on the track that nothing builds up so much as it did all my life before, that I just look, did I do anything wrong? Did I harm someone today? Did I act out of fear? And if I do so, that gives me the chance to just change it right away, just remove it. And it's a lot different if I just apologize for something I did last week than wait another 20 years to build a lot of stuff up and then go into a talk. So that makes my life easier, and it's also nice that sometimes if I'm on doing something and I realize if I do that now, I have to write that down in my 10th step tonight, and I'm not willing to do that. And it just helps me to continually work in it and to find that discipline to just continue. And step 11 is just the awareness that God is there and God is taking care. And He's always there. And it's just my part to get more in touch, get more connections, take that time for prayer and meditation, and just do my part in that relationship with God, because God is there. And for me, it's most of the parts. If I'm too much in the ego and doing stuff my way, I just let God out of the picture. So it's important for me to just say, okay, thank you, God, for being here. And I try my best to talk, to prayer, and to listen to meditation to improve that contact. And step 12 is just passing it on. Whatever I got is passing it on to my sponsees, passing it on in some service work, passing it on in some public information. And every time I do service, I get more of than I put in, and I really enjoy that I can pass on what was so freely given to me. Because when I showed up in my first meeting, I did not even say my name for the first 5 weeks or whatever, because I was just too shy and I was just sitting there and crying, and they were just, you know, they did a name round every week till I finally said my name in the meeting. But they were all kind and they were all loving and they were all like, keep coming back. And I felt that they meant it, and I really felt that this is a place where I'm home and this is a place where I belong, even if I didn't know. But that was my new family, what I found. So thank you all for letting me be in your service today.